All right, guys, so we're in Lesson 18. This is our second part of going through Lesson 18. So I just want to refresh ourselves. We're not going to read everything that we've already done because a lot of it is with regards to some of the saints who have gone on before us. But I do want to focus on verses 1 to 3 again. So we're going to read those again before we move into the examples of faith. So just kind of reminding ourselves of what faith is. So let's look at verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. All right, so let's kind of go through this again. So first of all, here's what faith is. Faith is being sure and certain about unseen hopes and realities. So faith is more than just belief. It is a certainty. It's a trust that what God says is going to happen, what is ahead of you, what is awaiting you, you know for sure it's certain because he said it. That's what faith is. When I have faith in him, I know that he's going to follow through on it. Okay? Now, this is the testimony of the Old Testament saints concerning their faith and what would come. So you think about the Old Testament saints, and we went through some of them last week. Their faith was in a promise of something to come, and they never saw that, but they had faith there. Do you understand? They had faith in who? They had faith in God. They had trust in him. Now, faith allows believers to understand the creation of the world by God's word. So the reality that faith, the whole issue of creation, because I remember last week we talked about that we were Lori and I, when we had our kids, we did the answers in Genesis, talking about the story of creation, the science behind that and all of that. That's great. You can know all of that, but the bottom line, it comes down to faith. Do you believe that God created everything out of nothing? Do you believe he spoke it into existence and all of its intricate details? That's what faith is. Now you say, George, are you sure? Yeah, because this is not the only place that talks about this. That faith, he mentions specifically creation. Peter mentions it in the third chapter of 2 Peter when he talks about the future coming. And he talks about those who mock and scoff at the coming. They're the same ones who mock and scoff at creation, the reality that God would create. See, now you see how they're connected? You know, you have to have faith that God did one thing if he's going to do the other, okay? So this is the reality. So we're talking about faith here, and faith understands that the physical world was created out of nothing. Okay, so we went through several examples here, but before we go on, anybody have a question or a comment before we hit the next group of people here and talk about them? Anybody have a question or comment, even from last week? Okay. 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 All right. That's good, Tim. Now, the only thing I would have you change in what you said is, you know, they in faith in he is coming. A lot of them didn't even have any understanding of that. You know, we would say we have faith in Christ who's come. Some of them, like if you were to ask Adam, he wouldn't have even thought of a Messiah coming. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or any of them. Their faith was in who? God bringing about a blessing for them, a promise for them, a fulfillment of things for them. Do you know what I mean? So for Abraham, he was promised certain things. And remember, this is one of the folks we looked at last week. What was Abraham promised?
Land.
Land. What else? Not just a son, but that he would be the father of what? Many nations, right? Okay. All right. Now, have all those been fulfilled? You say, well, maybe the many children, but have they got the land? Now, just so you know what the land was promised, do you want to know what the land that was promised to them? It was from the river Nile to the river Euphrates. Okay, so where's the river Nile? Anybody know where the Euphrates starts at and flows through and goes to? Well, Iraq, Syria, okay, so, all right, so has any of that ever been Israel? Never. They've never received the promise yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's this promise of land. Everything you look to, the west, north, east, and south, that's yours, he told Abraham. No, it hasn't happened. Even under great kings like David and Solomon, at the extent of the kingdom, no, they never had that, okay? Now, when will that take place? Well, after the second coming, they'll receive the kingdom when Jesus Christ comes back. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then the land promises will be fulfilled. Then the land promises will be fulfilled. So let's go on. Let's talk about, we've talked about the patriarchs. Once we get through the patriarchs, we get to Moses. All right, so we're going to go over to verse 23 through 28. So this is item number E under the second part of your notes. Let's talk about the faith of Moses. Look at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Okay, so let's talk about Moses here. First of all, here's what I want you to see. Moses' life reflected the decisions of faith. And when you read through these passages, he reflected some decisions he had to make concerning faith. First of all, it started off with his birth. It wasn't even his decision, was it? Whose decision was it? His parents, right? They're the ones that hid him in a basket among the reeds, which ultimately resulted in what? His being pulled out of the river by the princess of Pharaoh, by the daughter of Pharaoh, you know what I'm saying? And thus spared him, because if he hadn't been found by the Egyptian authorities, he would have been killed, if you remember, okay? So that was a faith decision on their part. But then he also made some faith decisions. What did he decide to do? What kind of decisions did Moses decide to do here? It says that he refused to be called what? The son of Pharaoh's daughter, which would have given him authority or whatever, prestige, clout in the community. He wanted to identify with who he was. Who was he? A Jew, a Hebrew, okay? What else? Yeah, he's willing to give up and suffer, but what was he willing to give up? Look at the passage. There was something he was willing to give up and trade for a greater promise. The material things, yes. Now, would he have experienced the material things? I mean, think about it. If you are, you know, the, quote, adopted son of Pharaoh, I don't know if he was adopted or not, but in Pharaoh's house, would you say that's a pretty good living, their lifestyle? Would he have been having it all pretty good, yeah. And so he decided to give all that up for the promise of what was coming. And by faith, he left. Well, yeah, they were out to get him, but he wasn't really too worried about that. By faith, he left. By faith, he left. Now, by faith, Moses kept the Passover, which saved their firstborn. All right, now we all remember the story of the Passover, right? That was the night in which the destroyer was going to come and kill the firstborn of Egypt. Do you remember that? And do you remember what they had to do? The Jews had to do that night. To put the blood on the mantle, yes. The blood was from a lamb that they killed and ate. That was the Passover meal. They were to eat the meal in a certain way. The passage, God told them even how to eat the meal, how to sit at the meal with their staff in their hand, like they're ready to go. And then put the blood on the post, and the destroyer would pass them by. Now, okay, let's stop for a moment. Would that require faith to do all that? Because we're talking about something that's never happened before, right? And so you're being told by Moses, a million people, hold on, just remember, there are a million people, a million Jews are being told to do this. So think about how many lambs that was to kill, okay? So, and then to put the, all right, think about all that, and then how you're even supposed to be sitting and by the meal and how, and then consume everything. Eat the whole meal, it's gone. You had to do that all by faith that what he was telling you was going to be true, right? Because the destroyer came that night and killed the firstborn of Egypt, and immediately what happens? Pharaoh says, get out of here! And so a million people get up and leave. But it was by faith. And something that they've never seen before. Kind of reminds you kind of like with Noah, right? Build me a boat. Or an ark. Take 40 years to do it. I'm going to do so. This is what faith. You have trust in who? God, the one who told you to do it, right? Okay? That's who your trust is in. All right? That's who your trust is in. And, yeah, that would be pretty interesting. Now, let's stop for a moment. These are the same people who are doing this by faith who later on, when they're in the wilderness, are complaining. And what does that tell you? There is something for us to think about here, okay? So our faith can waver, or you can, quote, backslide. Do you know what I mean? It kind of helps that you saw the other nine plagues too, right? Because this is the destroyer was the 10th plague, right? Kind of helps that you saw God do all this other stuff, right? So when he's telling you, well, I'm going to do this and this is what you need to do, I think you would do it, right? But it kind of also tells us about our sinfulness and how it can dominate us to make decisions that aren't right that we end up facing the consequences for. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is what I think is interesting. But faith is holding on. And that's what Moses was doing here. Okay? Moses was doing. Now, let's go on. By faith, let's look at verse 29 through 38. Verse 29. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced judgment, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. quenched the power of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong of weakness because it became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats and destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world is not worthy, wandering about in the deserts and mountains, in the dens and the caves of earth. All right, let's take a look at this. So, by faith, Israel passed through the Red Sea. Now, I would take faith to do that, right? I mean, even if you see God dividing it, I mean, being told to go through there, I mean, that would take faith. All right, let's go on. The writer follows the history of faith through those known and unknown in Israel. So when you read this, there were some amazing things happened. It was all by faith. It also talked about those who by faith allowed themselves to be sawn in two. Now, do anybody know who that is? It's not in your Bible, but I'll tell you who it is. It's the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah, when Manasseh was king, the king ordered him killed, and how they killed him is they stuck him in a hollow log, and they sawed the log in two. That's a pretty brutal way to die. You know what I'm saying? But by faith, and it says later in the passage, of whom the world was not worthy. So, the Old Testament saints had faith as they did not receive the promise. So every one of these, had they received the promise yet? No. But they had faith. All right, now let's stop for a moment. I want you to think for a moment. What is the promise that we hold on to? Anybody know? What is the promise that we hold on to? Okay, salvation, everlasting life. But specifically, what part of that? Or what did you say, Rob? Jesus coming back, okay. Forgiveness of our sins, okay. But I want you to think about it. Rob hinted at it, okay. The coming of Christ. What happens at the coming of Christ? When Christ comes, what happens to you? Yeah, we're taken up. We're transformed. We experience the resurrection. You'll receive your resurrected bodies. Okay? In an instant. Boom. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 tells us, all the way through verse 13 through 18, tells us about that in the instant, those who have died will at the same time be raised up as well. All right. Now, all of us who die before that event, we're kind of like these Old Testament saints. You have faith in what? What's coming? The resurrection, being with him, right? But if you die, did you experience that promise yet before you died? No. But you still had faith in it, right? Do you see what I'm saying? Just like them, they had faith in what was to come, and they died, but they still had faith. Now, will they experience it? Yes. Will we experience it? Yes, whether we're dead or alive. But our faith is in what? The promise of what's to come. Am I confusing you? I hope I'm not confusing you. Our faith is in what is to come, which is the resurrection. When you will become new, you'll shirk off that old body. You know what I'm saying? It'll be transformed into something new, perfect, no sin. So, all right, let's go on. God promised something better for us, that is Jesus Christ. All right, now stop. What does it mean he promised something better for us, okay? Something better for us. Well, if you think about it, look at verse 39 through 40. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Now, he's provided something better for you and I. Okay, because for them, they were promised, what was Abraham promised? Again, we talked about it. Child, okay, but father of many nations, okay, he would never see that completely, but the land. But he's not promising you land. What's he promising you? Eternity with Jesus Christ, right? He's promised you Christ. He's promised you something even far better for us to have faith in, to have faith in him. All right? Now, all right, so the Old Testament saints will experience the promise together with believers today. So yeah, they'll experience the promises together. What promises? Well, of course, the land, they'll see that. But also they'll have who? Jesus, yeah. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Yeah. Next week we're going to get into, all right, so what should be our realistic approach next week when we look at chapter 12? All right?